Hello and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and security podcast where two industry veterans talk about digital certificates, PKI, trust, certificate authorities, and things along those lines. This is episode 22. I am Tim Callen, senior fellow at Sigtigo, and I am joined, of course, by Jason Sirocco, CTO of IoT at Sigtigo. How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing great, Tim. Thanks.
So, big news item is going on right now. It's not even done, which is that the city of Baltimore is suffering very badly under a ransomware attack.
Yes.
And right now, all kinds of systems in Baltimore are disrupted, including not only email, but fundamental functions of how government works. So if you want to pay your utility bill, you may not be able to do so. If you are supposed to get essential communications, you may not be able to receive those. If you want to use essential services, they may not be working. And the New York Times broke on May 25th, revealed, at least to me, that the root cause of this appears to be a tool called Eternal Blue, which was developed as a cyber weapon by the NSA.
Yes, apparently, I think it was a tool set that was leaked by Shadow Brokers back in 2017.
Yes.
And the same tool was used a few months later as part of WannaCry and some other worms that you might have heard about. I think, Tim, you know, you mentioned ransomware, and definitely there's been a lot of industries affected by the underlying technology that was leaked out from the NSA. But I think what's interesting is that we are actually cobbling together several technology here. So the ransomware attack itself was not Eternal Blue. Eternal Blue was actually used as the worm mechanism that allowed it to spread in a worm method rather than in just a typical, it could start with social engineering, obviously, and it could spread wider by social engineering. But once an infection occurred, the scary part about Eternal Blue is that it is essentially a worm mechanism that can look for open ports and propagate itself.
Right. So you would not even have had to make a mistake as an IT administrator that allowed it in. It could have been just exploiting a vulnerability that was there in your systems that you didn't even know about.
And again, you used the term ransomware. But if you're one of the victims of NotPetya and WannaCry, you might successfully make the argument that this is really some wanton damage causing massive outages for all kinds of things, not the least of which being the city of Baltimore, many aspects of the city of Baltimore and other cities on the East Coast right now where apparently this thing is causing a lot of trouble.
And it's phenomenally ironic, of course, not the funny ironic, the tragic ironic, that a device that was developed, or a device, a technique, a piece of software that was developed by the U.S. government as a weapon ultimately has been turned on United States cities.
Right.
Right. And U.S. citizens are the ones who are suffering.
Right. Which, of course, causes a blame game.
Yeah.
If this was, you know, malware that had been attributed to, you know, some jurisdiction like Iran or North Korea or some of the others that we've heard before, it would be a different story. But the news media right now is having their day, pointing fingers and assigning blame. And that's not a surprising activity. We're not in that business, Tim, right?
Right.
We're more in the business of getting down to the root cause of what's going on here and hopefully giving a little bit of color to what is actually happening.
Yeah, in this case, that color is blue. So,
yeah.
There's so many directions to go with this. So what, well, okay, for starters, what do we do?
Well, what do you do at Microsoft? And don't forget, you and I always talk about stacks of technology, right? Because quite often you might be using iOS in the Apple world. You might be using the Microsoft stack of technologies. The underlying problem here is the Microsoft stack of technologies. Believe it or not, Tim, I think as part of the news release, Microsoft actually released patches for Windows XP and Vista.
Wow. Vista.
Yes.
Gosh. So,
And so, you know how Microsoft, of course, part of their policy is to not, once an operating system is out of service, out of cycle, they're supposed to not issue patches for it. But in this right. case, the issues were so egregious, and there are still so many users of those older operating systems that they were basically forced to issue a patch for this.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing if you think
so
about
it. So to answer your question, Tim, the answer is there is a patch for this. So patch your systems. And we can end the podcast there, right?
Hey, that was easy. So before we move on, the patch does work, right? Like, so theoretically, if your system is patched, you're no longer vulnerable. Is that correct?
I have not personally tested it, but that is my understanding.
That's my understanding as well. So, but of course, the trouble with that is we're talking about very large numbers of systems, and patching isn't always trivial, especially for these older systems.
Right.
And we know, just pragmatically speaking, that a lot of people aren't going to get the memo, or if they do, they're not going to quite manage to make it happen, or they're not going to feel that they know how, or all of these other problems that occur pragmatically when you're trying to deploy something at this kind of scale.
Correct. And as well, if you take a look at, and I won't get into the names of all of them, but there are system vendors out there where when you buy a brand new off-the-shelf system for, you know, controlling something, perhaps right. in a city environment or an industrial environment, the operating systems that are shipped in that brand new system are probably, you know, one of those older operating systems and might not be patched to a certain level. And so you then ask the vendor, hey, you know, I've heard of this Eternal Blue problem. Am I patched to the correct level? The answer might even come back.
Yeah.
You know, we only support to a certain level of patching. Therefore, you're on your own. Or there might be some other answer, perhaps more creative or constructive than that.
Yeah.
But suffice to say, there are an enormous numbers of systems out there that all are vulnerable. And that's why we still read about this in the news.
Yeah, and this happens to people all the time, right? Very responsible IT people say, I depend on the following pieces of software or services, or my business is just plain going to shut down. And if I deploy the patch, the other thing's going to stop working. So I'm stuck in a rock and a hard place, and whichever decision I make, it's going to be terrible. And I have to make one of the two.
We just did a podcast recently about the electrical industry.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of, you know, those folks are utterly obsessed with uptime and reliability and safety.
Yeah.
And the one cardinal rule in their systems is if it's not broken, don't fix it, because a working system is a working system, and any change to it is going to cause variables that are perhaps not controlled. And therefore, you know, there's many, many reasons why lots and lots of systems may go unpatched. There's no question about that. However, this is the world we're living in, where older vulnerabilities that even do have a patch are affecting us pretty deeply.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time either that we've seen what was clearly a government-sponsored cyber weapon get out of its maker's control and wreak havoc. And I am thinking, of course, of Stuxnet. It always comes back to Stuxnet, right?
Yes, it does.
And Stuxnet is widely considered to have been a state-sponsored cyber attack program back in the 2000s, and then it got loose, and it turned out just to be a big problem for a lot of people. And here, this is happening again.
I'm going to take an interesting stand here, Tim. When we talk about root causes, I love that term, mainly because it's probably less about attribution, and it's less about blame, and it's more about the actual root cause.
Right.
And so therefore, if you just do a mind experiment for a moment, and okay. you think about Stuxnet, and you think about what's going on with Eternal Blue right now, it could have been somebody else who weaponized this. The fact right. that the news release is all about, oh, blame the NSA or blame somebody else, that's the least interesting part of the story to me. The more interesting part of the story has to do with the fact that look at how many systems are unpatched. What do we as an industry need to do to be able to make that better? Now with things like IoT, what's the implication of that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And connected to that, right? When you start to get into this world, and again, one of my hobby horses I keep returning to is just vastly increasing complexity, vastly increasing attack surface, vastly increasing a number of devices, number of operating systems, number of interactions, interdependencies, all of these things are getting orders of magnitude more complex than they were. And that just leaves more room for this kind of thing to happen.
So Tim, let's choose one of those technologies and one of those, even just the use case that utilizes one of the technologies that was exploited by Eternal Blue, because this is an interesting theme.
Okay.
I think what people see quite often in technical journalism, or what's called technical journalism on the subject, is all over the place. Of course, they want to make it a dramatic story. That's natural human nature.
Right.
But really, the problem here is Microsoft, in the goodness of their heart, and I really do mean that, I'm not being tongue-in-cheek, they did a great job at creating an operating system that was interoperable, backwards compatible, and able to do fantastic things such as remote access.
Yes.
Terrific. Well, from a security aspect, Tim, that's a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Right. You have so little control. You have to connect to everything. You have to work on every piece of hardware. You have to work in every environment, in every country in the world, in every language that is spoken. The locking down and controlling the Windows stack has to be insane. And, you know, as soon as they make any kind of change or update or patch, something breaks and somebody is suffering. And so balancing all of those things and just orchestrating all of those needs in a single environment is ridiculously complex and difficult.
Correct. And quite specifically, Eternal Blue is about exploiting a security issue with remote desktop access.
Right.
And so therefore, that's what the underlying pattern of attack. Don't forget, as you said, the manifestation of the attack on Baltimore and other places was ultimately ransomware.
Yeah.
Of which, as I said, this particular portion of the attack was just the worm. The worm's getting all the attention because of the fact of who the author was. I think the more interesting part of the story is the fact that what did the bad guy have to do? The bad guy being this case, you know, in air quotes, the NSA, or it could have been anybody else. Bad guy is always by its relative, depending on your perspective.
Depends on who you are, yes.
Exactly. So therefore, remote access technologies, Tim, that's something that we work very hard on as in the PKI industry, is authentication methodologies. And authentication methodologies that actually allow for safe things such as remote authentication. And right. Even more challenging environments such as Internet of Things, where there's all kinds of remote access between devices where it's not even a human being involved anymore. You're now talking about headless autonomous systems that are checking in with each other, sending data to each other, sending commands to one another, and the need to know who it is that sent it, the digital identities having to be sussed out and guaranteed. There's a lot going on. So therefore, that to me is a lot more the interesting part of the problem is, how is this solved as a pattern? Remote access technologies beg for purpose-built PKI. And I think you're looking at just another example where augmenting Microsoft stack technologies with very, very well-built, purpose-built modern technologies is probably a way to overlay what trying to make the life of the bad guys harder and not so easy. Because companies like Microsoft are tremendously skilled at building great operating systems that are interoperable, backwards compatible, and administrated and configured in every which way and sliced and diced that's possible. They do an amazing job for that. I think if you're a CISO or a CIO, the one thing you want to think about is augmenting that tremendous framework that operating system gives you with technologies that give you that strong authentication, so that not only are your administrators able to get in systems they need to be, or your IoT systems able to cross network boundaries the way that they are intended to, but do it in such a way that's secure and also manageable. As a pattern, Tim, I think if you want to get down to the root of all this, that's what the world is in need of right now.
And that's where you get back to your purpose bill concept, which is to say, there's no good reason why this sort of thing can't be worked out and all the details can be gotten right. And we can have a purpose-built PKI system that then can be easily implementable and configurable by many, many enterprises that depend on it without everybody having to scratch their head and thinking about the same set of deep questions over and over again.
You know what's great, Tim, is think about this. We're dealing with technologies that are quite a few years old now, mm-hmm. and are ultimately about technologies that are within a singular stack of technologies. Think about the DevOps world.
Oh yeah.
What are the remote access technologies being built today underneath your nose by a generation of programmers that, heck, this is old. What we're talking about today, this is yeah. old. This is your grandpa's news. Okay.
Oh yeah. If it was right? Windows XP, it actually is.
It is your grandpa's news. Well, guess what? There's going to be tomorrow's news about systems that are so, we were impressed by RDP back in the day, right? I mean, right. when you were first able to log into a server remotely from your desktop and put your feet up on your desk, you were sitting pretty.
Super cool. Absolutely. Super cool.
And my goodness, how many different ways are we interconnecting now and yeah. multi-clouds and in technology stacks that, heck, I've lost count of all the different ways to distribute Linux. So Tim, I think, again, it's more important to think about the pattern, because what doesn't change is the pattern. The things that we've learned from this lesson need to be extended into the next world as well. And hopefully yeah. we'll get to it sooner than later.
Yeah. And of course, as always, one of the themes that we do keep returning to is, you know, all these are always goodies, right? If there's ever a vulnerability, it's always there potentially. Like any exploit that's ever been discovered is just waiting to come back. And if we ever forget about the past, someone is going to find a way to use these exploits or to update them to fit our new architectures and operating systems and work models, and then use them. And so we have to keep developing and protecting from the new threats, but we can't lose sight of those old threats as well.
Tim, I personally know a lot of pen testers who I usually tip a beer back with at Black Hat and DEF CON. Mm. And I could tell you, some of them know the CVE numbers off right off the top of their heads, and they've made personally lucrative careers just by using, you know, 10-year-old or plus vulnerabilities. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's just everything repeats itself.
It does. And so in order for us not to repeat ourselves, maybe this is a good time to say thank you as always, Jason. Very interesting. And we'll keep following this to see where it goes. And this is Root Causes.
Thank you, everybody.